Hi everyone, welcome to today's online gathering. Just to let you know that this is being recorded, so if you don't want to appear in the recording and you want to ask a question, you can do so on the chat. Just, you know, maybe tell me that you don't want me to read it out loud or something. At the moment, I'm going to mute everyone just so that we can have a clear recording, but you can unmute yourself at any point. How this is going to go, we're going to start with a very quick centering, a quick check-in, just, you know, calming down, around 5 minutes or less, and then I'm going to make a few points about getting along with other people, and then I'm going to give you an example from my own life, and after that, if you want to bring up something of yourself, you can do so. So let's start. Let's start with a quick centering. If you're sitting on a chair, straighten your back, extend your spine, and maybe plant your feet on the ground. If you want, you can sit on a cushion on the floor. That works too, with your legs crossed. Most important thing is that your spine is straight and your shoulders are up and back. And you can relax your hands on your knees. Extend the top and back of your head so that your neck is really extended. Begin to observe the breath. You're just noticing the breath, you're noticing the belly, you're noticing the chest expand and contract. Just very gentle. You're not trying to change it, you're just observing it. Very relaxed manner. Relax your legs, your feet, your thighs, your hips. Relax the belly, the chest, the shoulders, the neck. Maybe you notice that there's some way that you can make your body a little bit more comfortable. Maybe you can adjust your pose and do that. Then close your eyes and stay here, observing the breath. Try and relax your jaw, your cheeks, your tongue, your eyelids, your eyebrows, your forehead. Relax the top of the head. Feel your sit bones grounding on your seat with exhale. And feel your chest lifting up with inhale. And we're going to take 3 long, deep breaths in and out, very relaxed. And if you want, you can exhale fully with the sound ha. Inhaling fully, expanding the chest, and exhaling fully with the sound ha. One more breath. And exhale fully. Blink your eyes a few times and open your eyes. And we're back. How's everyone feel? You can unmute yourself. You can just write it down on the chat. If you notice something in your body or your breathing. Cool. Okay, the reason why we want to start calming down the body is because the body holds a lot of information. So if you find yourself tensing up when we go into the topic today, that's an important thing to pay attention to. There might be something in your psyche that needs attention. Okay, so today's topic, how to get along with others, especially in this time when we're all locked down with other people, most of us, and we have to get along. We can't just go out for a day or two like we could before. First point I'm going to make, I want to define something I call stuff. Stuff is a shorthand for all of these past memories, all of our mental and emotional baggage, all our past experiences, all the pain that we didn't process, all that we go through life, you know, experiencing things, feeling things, and not all of it gets processed and dealt with. So it's sort of like, I call it stuff, is the kind of thing that you would take to a therapist. It's all, most of it is unconscious. And, the goal in life is to process as much of it as possible, bring it to the surface so that we can deal with it. So we all have this stuff. We all carry our stuff around. And in daily social interactions with other people, our stuff and the other person's stuff comes into play. And we push their buttons and they push our buttons. They set off our stuff, we set off their stuff. And before you know it, things get uncomfortable and messy and complicated. This is a universal truth. It's pretty much true for all times. So here's an example of stuff. Somebody may be saying something like making a comment about how much food you eat. If you have stuff around your body weight, that will piss you off. Your stuff will get triggered. Somebody saying that to me, I don't have any stuff around body weight issues, so they can comment as much as they want about how much I eat, I'm fine. So what we have to address here is the stuff that gets triggered rather than the triggering, right? We can't tell people not to say things, not to make comments. Most of the time, they don't even know that they're triggering our stuff. So we're here to work with our stuff because we cannot work on theirs. You know, people will go through life. If they want to work with it, that's up to them. But only thing we can do is work with our own personal stuff. And eventually, hopefully, other people's comments won't bother you anymore once everything is resolved. So the better we get at noticing our stuff while remaining calm and grounded, the easier it will be for our stuff to just resolve itself. That's our challenge. Somebody sets off their stuff, they say something that pisses you off. And if you manage to stay calm and grounded and observe it, that's the first step to resolving it. Sometimes that's enough and it will just resolve itself. But it's an ongoing process. It happens over and over. People will say something around a particular topic. It will trigger you. It will set your stuff off. And observing it time and time again is how it gets resolved. And the absolute first step is to separate your stuff from their stuff. So, because obviously we can only work on our stuff, not theirs. Something else I want to say is that our stuff is temporary. I mean, sometimes it's stuff that we carry from childhood. but it can't change. None of it is set in stone. This just makes up our psyche, and it doesn't define us. It's just a pattern that we got into maybe when we were younger, maybe we picked it up from the wider culture. Doesn't matter. We're here. We can work with it. It doesn't have to stay this way. It's all manageable, essentially. It can all change. And by making it conscious, by observing it, by noticing that it's there, we're already separating from our stuff. We want to get to the point where you, instead of saying, for example, I have body weight issues, then you can say something, I am somebody who's processing these body weight issues. I am, one day they will no longer be there. Yes, okay, absolutely. Write that on a t-shirt. We can't change our stuff. That's in yoga, we would say that that's what we're here to do in life, is precisely deal with it and then move on. Another thing I'm going to say is that we will always have some stuff until we're enlightened. We will always have something, right? We're human. That's what we're here to do. Okay, any questions so far? Is it clear what I mean?
It's clear.
Cool, all clear from Brad, nodding along. Okay, I'm gonna give you guys an example of how I work with something. I chose something that I still have stuff around, which is the fact that I'm single, I'm unpartnered. And, you know, I've done a lot of work, and I've definitely, it's a really big pattern, okay? It's not like somebody comments on a small thing, it's a big thing. So it makes sense that it would take a long time. Don't get discouraged if this is something that, you know, something similar happens to you. You're working with big things, they do take a long time. So more than once it's happened that people say to me, this is true, it's literally happened, who would want to marry you? This has actually happened. I'm not like pulling it out of nowhere. This happened not that long ago. And as much as I would want to slap them or shut them off, because I can't do that, and also also I'm a yoga teacher, so I'm definitely not allowed. Thank you, Kay. Kay says, I'm so sorry. Yeah, that is definitely one thing that we can do for each other. If you see that somebody else's stuff has been triggered, first thing you can say, you can do is show compassion, and that goes a long way, because we cannot really work on other people's stuff. We can be there for them as they work through it themselves, which is what I'm going to do. So somebody says, comes to me and says, who would want to marry you? The first thing I do is to just go back to the body, to just do something physical, to ground myself and calm myself. Usually I would just go and observe the breath like we did before, because that feels calming for me. But I have a lot of, you know, a lot of experience using the body to calm down. You might want to try other things. You can try acupressure. You can massage different body parts. You can just lie down on the floor, that works as well. If it's a horrible, horrible thing, you're feeling very distressed. But for me, really the first thing is to calm down using the body. It's one of the easiest ways, because you're not even thinking. Your body is helping you along. Another thing I will do is I will identify my feelings and my needs. This is a concept that I got from the book, well, the whole philosophy of nonviolent communication is an excellent book. If you have any kind of issues relating to people or even relating to yourself, just get the book. I will write it down later. And the first step on that process is to identify feelings and needs. William says, who's the book by? Is Marshall Rosenberg. I will write it down. It's called Nonviolent communication and language for life. So in this case, somebody says who we want to marry you. I feel upset, frustrated, I feel annoyed, angry, I'm sad. And then you write down your need, you bring up your needs. And I feel all like that because I need compassion, I need witnessing, I need acceptance. I need for someone to know my pain and I need to feel seen and accepted and, you know, reminded that it's okay to be me. Yes, Kay found it, that nonviolent communication by Marshall Rosenberg. So far, we've done a body thing. We've identified the feelings and the needs. That brings up a lot of clarity. And then the next step is to separate your stuff from their stuff. Because when people make comments like that, which are obviously, you know, they're done with malice. Nobody's going to say something like that just for out of niceness, right? What they're doing is they're in their stuff. Something about the whole interaction makes them go into their stuff and then they make a nasty comment like that. So we want to separate our stuff from theirs because we can only work with ours. So, okay, so in my case, somebody says, who would want to marry you? I'm going to separate my stuff. My stuff is my fear that they're right, and that it's true. My fear that I will never be loved, that's my stuff. Or my fear that I'm too much, maybe. Again, my stuff. Maybe I'm feeling self-conscious that people think that I am too much this or not enough of that. Again, all of that is mine. I could work with that. And their stuff is this idea that someone has to be a certain way to be loved, or that some people are not worthy of being loved. That's all their stuff. People's opinions of me, that's their stuff. The idea that if you are too this or not enough of that, that's then you're not worthy of love. That's all their stuff. Okay, getting clear on what is yours and what is theirs. So now that you're clear on your feelings and your needs and what is yours, because you've separated from theirs, we move on to this process that I call, we allow it to be there, basically. We're going to work with our stuff directly, allow it to be there. So this is what I would say to myself. And I go into my body, I calm down, and then I go straight into it. Even though I'm afraid I'll never be loved, this is how I feel. I'm allowed to be afraid. I'm allowed to have stuff about this. I'm getting better at allowing my stuff to be there without it saying anything about me. I'm getting better at noticing when it shows up. Even though I still have stuff around being single, and even though I still doubt whether I'll ever find love, even though I feel all this pain and sadness and frustration, this is where I am. I'm allowed to be here. I'm allowed to feel like this. Even though I wish that I felt better, that this stuff was gone already, even though I feel sad because I would like people to understand me and see my pain, this is where they are. I can't change that. They're allowed to have their stuff, and this is where I am. And I'm allowed to have my stuff. I'm getting better at giving myself kindness and compassion and meeting my own needs myself and not rely on other people. I'm getting better at giving myself legitimacy, taking my needs seriously. And then I'll take a couple breaths. And hopefully I will feel better after that. Okay. Any questions so far? Did you guys understand more or less how the process works? Or you maybe want to unmute yourself. We want to bring up an example of something that some difficulty we have with someone. Something you want to work with. You're totally free to bring up your stuff, and I'll guide you through the process if you want. Okay, Will says, do we have any responsibility to point out that someone has stuff that they need to work on? Yes and no. Sometimes you do. Well, definitely if it's a child or something, somebody, definitely for children, it is probably a responsibility as a parent to point that out. It's a question of how. How do you tell them that they have stuff? Because, and this is so essential, when they are in their stuff, they will not listen to anything you say. You may have noticed. People are upset. They've been triggered. Somebody has called them fat to their face or something. And they're not going to understand. They're not going to listen to anything because they are right in the middle of their stuff. So the process is the same. You help them calm down. You know, you help them maybe ground themselves with some breathing or something with the body. That's about it. You can remind them of this process, that you can definitely show compassion and say, I'm so sorry. You can use this process of allow their stuff to be there. You can remind them that they have this stuff and they're allowed to have it. But after that, you can then say, you know what, I think you have stuff around this that you can work with. I don't think I'm making myself very clear. When they're in their stuff, people are in their stuff, all you can do is just allow them to be there. It's better if we work with an example. Somebody tells you that, you know, somebody says to someone, you're fat, and they're feeling really upset. The only thing you can do is show compassion, help them ground physically with the body, ideally breathing work or something like that. And then just tell them that they're allowed to feel whatever it is that they're feeling. After they calm down and they're no longer in that state, then maybe you can say something like, you know, maybe this is something you can work with. Maybe this is your stuff that you think that you're fat or something. But there's a difference between them being in it, in that state, and them being in a place where they will listen to you. It's very difficult to point out to other people that they have stuff. It's a question of, I think, of learning as you go along, at which points you can say something, at which points you can't. Because you have to be very gentle and very compassionate. And if it comes from a place of love, then, you know, obviously they will be more likely to listen to you. But most of the time we can't do much, unfortunately, I find. People have their stuff. I mean, I notice this all the time because I've been doing this work for so long. People have, say, stuff around money. Everyone has stuff around money. And it's almost impossible to tell them, hi, you have stuff around money. It's obvious to me. Yeah, all I end up doing is just either showing compassion or just letting them have it. But yeah. I hope that answered that question. I know it's not easy because we can only really ever work on ourselves. Any other questions? Anything else you want to work with? Yeah. Kay says money's a biggie. Yep. Money is, I think it really is, must be up there. If it's not the biggest one, it's top three. I'm scared of doing a workshop like this on money because I don't know how, I don't know how I would present it to people. I think a lot of people would think it's, they're not going to work on their stuff. They're going to work on other aspects of money, but for sure, everyone has issues around money. Every single person, everyone, the people with money, the people without money, they all have stuff around it. And it gets triggered so fast. Things that you wouldn't understand. Things that you wouldn't associate with money. Like, I don't know. It's all tangled with self-worth for sure. People say not listening to you. And when you actually get into it and understand where they're coming from, it just is there. It's, what happens is that you are making less money than they're making, for an example. Or I don't know, they're having a major life crisis because they don't know what to do with their lives. Actually, it's all about money. Or somebody else having more money than theirs. It's really, really complicated and tangled. But the process is the same. We, you know, if you want Kay to give an example, I will totally go through this process with you. Otherwise, I can make one up. That's fine. Or you can just tell me about someone else's stuff. We can definitely work with it. Or I could give one example of my life when I've noticed for sure that the other person has stuff around money. And I assure you I did the same thing, calming down with the body, identifying my feelings, just observing how I'm feeling upset and how I'm feeling frustrated because I need to, you know, be taken seriously regardless of how much money I'm making. I separate my stuff from theirs. There's a difference between me and my sense of self-worth and how they see me. Because how they see me is their stuff. I can't work on that. I can only work on my stuff, how I see myself. Right? Otherwise, this part is important because otherwise we end up just making it all about them and this person doesn't understand me and this person, and our mind wants to get us trapped inside that because it's easier in a way. We don't have to do any actual work if we make it all about them. So after I separate my stuff from theirs, I move into allowing it to be there and observing it and being as compassionate as I can. You know, okay, this is my stuff. So my sense of self-worth is, you know, is caught up in money. I'm allowing myself to feel that way. I'm getting better at changing this pattern just by noticing it. This is temporary. It won't be forever. Even though, you know, I'm afraid that I'll never be worthy because I don't have any money. Even though I feel all this frustration because I wish that all these problems were sorted out already. This is where I am. I'm allowed to be here. I'm allowed to feel however it is that I'm feeling. I'm allowed to have a shaky self-worth because of money. And even by noticing this and observing this pattern, I'm changing it. Because when you observe your stuff, it cannot stay the same. when you learn how to observe it and stay grounded, it can't change. Even if you think, okay, I have all of this stuff around money, it's there, I see it every day, and don't despair, because it's only a matter of time. When you are observing it, it will change. It can't stay. It can't keep on going because you've made it conscious. Once a pattern is conscious, it's only a matter of time before it's changed. Okay, William asks, can working through stuff mean we ultimately may need to break off relationship friends as stuff can't change and it's toxic to our stuff? Yes and no. I would not jump into the breaking off relationships or friendships. I will not jump into that, because it's just very easy to make it all about them. Most people do this. We all do this. We say, it's all about them, and we kick them out of our lives, which is very convenient because then we don't have to work on our stuff. Right? This person, for whatever reason, is triggering your stuff. And, you know, your rational mind says, okay, perfect. All I have to do is get rid of this person. Brilliant. My first port of call would be to separate from this person, either in whatever way you can, and then do the self-work. Do the self-work a lot before you come into contact with them again. And eventually, once you've done a lot of self-work, you work with your stuff a lot, eventually you will arrive at a different perspective, and then you will understand whether you can continue the relationship or not. But in my book, it's perfectly acceptable to just distance yourself from someone. It's, you know, even if they're not active, you know, even if they're not jerks, they're just perfectly nice people, but their lives are triggering your stuff. Just separate. That's fine. But I would not jump into the cutting them off, because that feels, most of the time, unless it's very, very toxic, most of the time that feels good, because then we just, you know, oh, it's their problem. They're toxic. You see this a lot with, this is going to sound awful, but you see this a lot in the dating world, where this happens literally all of the time. People start dating someone and poof, they say something that triggers their stuff. And the easiest thing to do is just to break up, because you're at that stage when it's very early on. You're not married. You haven't got a mortgage. So, you know, oh, it's so easy. And you dump that person, you move on to the next. It's we all do this. It's fine. It's totally fine to do this. But at some point, you want to observe it and work with it. You can't go through life essentially cutting off people, because that's another way of giving them our stuff, if you see what I mean. You're making it about them, and it's not them, because it's never them. In yoga philosophy, you would say that it's not them. In fact, in yoga philosophy, you would say something crazy like, there are no other people, there's only ever us. But that's a bit metaphysical. So it's not about them, it's about how it makes you feel. Because how it makes you feel leads to something. It's related to your stuff. And we're here to work with our stuff, not necessarily to cut off people because they trigger our stuff. So as a short answer, as a temporary Temporary measure, yes. Distance works great. But in the long term, you want to go back to yourself. Okay, we'll ask, but some people are cruel. Yeah, some people are definitely cruel and gaslighters and all kinds of horrible, horrible things. So eventually, some, you know, after you've done the inner work, you may decide that, yeah, this person is completely toxic. There's no point in having this relationship. They're completing their stuff and they're not going to change, and that's fine. I'm not saying that you have to put up with awful people. I'm saying do distance yourself and also go back to your stuff and work on it, because otherwise you can end up like in the case of the dating example, like so many people who go through their lives, literally year after year, day after day, meeting people, making it about them. And, you know, oh, it's there, it's them, you dump them. And, you know, decades can go by and they have exactly the same problems. And that's tragic. So absolutely, if you need to distance yourself from cruel people, go ahead, always. Just keep some measure, keep it in your mind, this idea that you have to work with your stuff. Whatever they're triggering is something that you have to work with, because they can be gone forever and your stuff will stay with you. So they were just the trigger. This one time, you know, in this occasion, they happen to be the person triggering your stuff. But if your stuff stays with you, there will be other triggers, and there will always be triggers because it's there. So, you know, hopefully once it's resolved, then the other person will not trigger you so much. They might still be cruel and you might still need to kick them out of your lives. Oh, this is so challenging, but it's much better to know all of this than to go through life not knowing it and hitting your head against the wall, which is what I used to do before I found out about this. Okay, let's take a deep breath or two. Let's just observe the breath. Observe your seat. Just bring your awareness to your sit bones, to your hips. You can relax the hips consciously. You just let them relax, your thighs. You're observing your breath in your belly. Taking one deep breath and coming back. It's just a moment of a little moment of calm. Any more questions, anything you want to work with, I'm happy to work through any of your stuff or anything that you have going on with someone. I know that it can be challenging. You can always ask me about, I don't know, some TV series or characters that you've seen, because it's always easier when it's not about you. Anyone doing well on this lockdown? Nobody's triggering your stuff. If you have something that you want to work with, you're more than welcome to bring it up. Otherwise, we'll take a few breaths and we will ground through the body. Again, I know it's difficult to talk about these things, so you can always use fake names, fake stories. You can make it all up. That's fine by me. Or you can just throw in a random example, like, I don't know, people getting upset because they run out of coffee or something. You can always make up something. I will never know. And we can just work with it like that. Lockdown is definitely a very particular situation, I think. A lot of people are finding it challenging. People who have, and I'm hearing from people who have decades of yoga practice, people who are yoga teachers are finding it hard because suddenly, you know, they're thrown with their family. I'll tell you this joke. In the yoga world, there was this, actually I think it may come from Buddhism, but there was this one man who spent many years in an ashram and he thought he had found enlightenment. And okay, he thought, well, I'm enlightened, I might as well leave. And then he went back home for Thanksgiving and he realized he had not found enlightenment. So that's what we're here to work with. We're really family, loved ones, especially, that they're there to wake us up. They're there to trigger our stuff. They're there to point out our stuff. This is so common, definitely among partners and definitely between parents and their children, because, oh my God, in the case of parents and children, children, when the children are upsetting their parents, almost always is because they're mirroring something in the parents themselves. So yeah, that's an interesting dynamic. And it's what we're here to do. We're here to work with that. And in the case of partners, well, we choose our partners precisely because they trigger our stuff. So I've heard. Yeah, that's, partners are another tricky one. Yeah. People triggering each other, that's it. That's absolutely what we're here for. We're here precisely to trigger up each other. But then, you know, our stuff comes to the surface. That's the good thing, that it comes up. And once you can observe it, you can work with it. And then you evolve, you make progress, you resolve it. And if you know how to work with it, you will for sure grow spiritually, and you will mature spiritually and emotionally and mentally, which is important. And also you will be healing stuff most likely that you have from childhood, and stuff that sometimes you inherited from your parents, that they got from their parents. So It's that's why this work is so important, because it's how the world changes essentially. you know? When we were talking about all of our money issues, they come from our parents and our grandparents, and, you know, they keep on coming. Every single person has money issues, and they're all either from the culture or inherited, or both. You know, none of us are born having money issues. None of us are born even knowing what money is, or associating our self-worth with money. All of that comes from the culture, and it comes from our parents, and it just gets reinforced. So in a way, the ball stops with us. But the moment you recognize it and you observe it with kindness and compassion, and you acknowledge what your needs are, and you meet yourself, you meet those needs in yourself, and you allow all of your stuff to be there. Yeah, folks who grew up in the Great Depression, absolutely. All of that got passed down. And again, because our parents, in my case, my parents had no idea how to work with their stuff. They never heard of yoga. So all of us who have just learned about these techniques and learned about working with our stuff and all these ideas, we're like the first generation in heaven knows how long to suddenly be working with this. You know, and so you're not just working with your stuff, but your parents, your grandparents, and all the way back, heaven knows how many generations. Yeah, that's what we're here for. And ideally, if we work with it, then we will pass down a lot less to our children. Because, you know, that's important too. Not pass down so much stuff. Because then they, you know, it grows essentially. But the important thing to know is that we all have stuff. It's and we will all be triggering each other. You know, it's inevitable. Well, it's what we're here for, to either work with it or to trigger it in other people. And if you can separate yours from theirs and you can work on yours, then yeah, that's great. That's how we make progress. Yeah, Will says we all have our stuff. Yep, we do. And one of the great side effects of working with your stuff is that you will have a lot of compassion for other people. Because you will realize, you will see it. You will see, oh my gosh, they have the same stuff that I used to have, you know, so long ago. And I remember, oh yeah, our compassion towards others definitely grows. We see how vulnerable we are and how much we struggle. And then we will see it in other people and we will have compassion for them. So definitely, attitude of compassion towards your stuff is key. Then your compassion will sort of radiate outwards. Okay, any last questions? Yeah, Kay says working with my stuff allows others to work with theirs if they wish. Absolutely. Absolutely. If you can model this work for other people, that's priceless. It really is. That's what I aspire to do, just model all of my me working with my stuff and modeling it for other people, because then they get to learn. Because so often what they have will be very similar to what you have. Yeah, and another thing I want to say is that when you work with your stuff, you will trigger other people less. It's less likely that you will step on their stuff. Because partly because you will be more compassionate, but also because, how can I say this? It's sort of like it's like a ball bouncing off a wall. Most of the time, like the person who said to me, who would want to marry you, they were already in their stuff. So heaven knows, maybe if I triggered them or something else triggered them. So when you work with it, you will not trigger other people so much. You'll be present, you'll be calm, you'll be grounded. You will not get triggered. That means you will not trigger them, and everything will be easier. So working with your stuff will make all relationships easier. All of your interactions with others will become smoother. It takes time. Yes, I'm sure. I'm sorry, it takes time. I wish there was a magic pill. It's this constant, consistent work of observing it when it shows up and observing it with kindness and allowing it to be there over and over and over again. This will be recorded, so if you want, you can always listen to it again. And you can always email me or ask me any questions that you might have. I can always point you into the right direction. And definitely get the book. Nonviolent Communication is, I'm sure it has saved many relationships. Let's all take a few breaths now. Sit, find a comfortable seat, and extend your spine. And ground your sit bones. Bring your shoulders up and back. Extend the back of your head so that your neck is long. Relax your hands on your knees. Relax your belly, your chest, your shoulders, your jaw, cheeks, your tongue, eyelids, eyebrows, forehead. Just stay here for a moment. Observing the sensations in your eyelids. And gently begin to observe your breath, starting in the belly, going all the way up to the chest. Very gentle and smooth breath. You don't have to change it, you can just observe it. Observe that grounding sensation with exhale. That very subtle lift in the chest with inhale. Bring your awareness to your seat. And try to breathe there just to ground yourself a little bit more. As if you could direct your breath to your seat. Extend your spine again. Observe the breath in your belly and your chest. Relax your eyelids and your forehead. I will take 3 deep breaths together, in and out through the nose. Gently inhaling and exhaling, long and deep. Last breath. Gently inhaling all the way up to the collarbones. And exhaling gently, bringing the shoulders down, bringing the belly in. Slowly coming back, maybe blink a few times. If you want, you can extend your arms. Have a big yawn. Nobody can hear you because you're muted. Yawn, extend your arms up, up above the head. Maybe wiggle the spine a little bit because we've been sitting for so long. And gently bring your arms down. I thank you guys for coming and doing this work with me. And I will send a link so that you can have the recording. All of the recordings stay in the same page. And you're welcome to join me next week. And if you have any suggestions, anything you want me to address, any topics for future gatherings, feel free to email me. I'm always so happy to hear from you. I'm wishing you only good things in these trying times that we got to live through, but we're all in it together in a way. So that's good. Thank you for coming. I'll see you on the internet soon. Bye. I can unmute you all so that we can say bye together. Waving, I'm waving. Even if you
bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Thank you, Mary. This was great.
Bye.